Okay, we're gonna try my joke today.
Okay, let's hear it.
Why are spiders so smart?
Arachnid, spidey sense. I don't know why.
They can find everything on the web. Welcome to Intermission, a show about anything and everything band related, proving that band is fun. My name's Kim Shuttlesworth.
And I'm Riaz Muhammad.
In today's episode of Band Revolution, we'll talk about the evolution of band, how it started, and how it's going.
We're back.
Good morning.
It's Monday again.
Tuesday.
It's Tuesday again.
Off to a strong start.
It's Monday. It's our Monday.
It's our Monday, yeah. Post Labor Day holiday. What did you do?
I did absolutely nothing.
There you go.
I went to a movie with my dad. I did get him a no solicitor sign so that people would stop knocking on our door. We went to celebrate Jana's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And Sunday, I didn't do anything. I took the longest nap I think I might have ever taken in my life. I took our best friend, she liked to take naps. I took a Katie 0.2.
That's a long time.
It was like 3.5-4 hours. And I woke up and I had no idea where
what
I was.
Day, what day is it? Yeah.
And then I slept most of the, I hung out yesterday. I did some work. Obviously I did the announcements and things like that. But I woke up this morning and hit my snooze thinking that it wasn't day to go to work. And I turned over and I was like, oh my God, I have to be at work in 45 minutes.
Yeah, the weather this morning messed me up. Because usually, like, my morning routine is make my coffee, go sit on the couch, open up all the windows, turn the news on. I accidentally fell asleep this morning and woke up in a panic.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it was still darkish outside.
Well.
It's fine.
Anyhow, well, we're here today. It is raining, so we're going to be dealing with rain today, as most of Texas is, from what I understand. I'm in my raincoat right now.
I'm just in a sweater. Mine's in the car. I didn't feel like putting it on.
Mine was here, so I got wet coming in. Mm. But I thought today we could talk about the evolution of band. And it had been on my mind this weekend as I watched college bands come out.
Yep.
And just kind of watching the different things from across the country, but also, you know, right here in home, you know, in Texas, about just the different styles of it. And it brought me to think about my time as a kid in band looks very different than what I teach now. So I thought we could maybe discuss the differences and maybe the similarities and how to... I think we should appreciate every art form. And I don't know that we always do that because we think one is better than the other. And I just think they're all different.
I mean, yes, there are still in Texas, there are still bands that do things very differently from each other, at least.
Yeah. I mean, I went to one of those schools.
Yeah.
I am proud that UIL is recognizing different styles at this point and celebrating those. Let's start with you. What was high school band like? Where'd you go to school?
God. So I went to Pasadena Memorial, which is in Pasadena, southeast side of Houston. When I was there, it was still a fairly new school. Like my freshman year was the first year that they had all four classes.
Mm.
So we were in sort of a weird transition period, knowing what I know now, I'm sure that that was difficult because you had three different high schools coming together to try and find, you know, your unique identity. So I'm sure that was on the director's side, a little bit of a struggle to put together, but, we were very small, maybe 100 wins, if that.
You said it's very small when a 1A band only has like 14 kids in it.
You're right. We are very small for a 5A, then now 6A high school, but they're pretty larger now. So we mostly did the like local contest thing. It was when I was there, you know, we were super close to making area.
Mm-hmm.
Always was successful at regions. We had a few All-Staters in my time when I was there. But just a program that was trying to experience growth and like find its identity. We did the corps style marching. Was not a military band, was not a like a show band of any sorts. And I remember my first exposure to DCI was in high school when my band director threw on 2006 Cavaliers and then 2002 Cavaliers. I was like, oh.
The Machine.
Yeah, this is cool.
So that's how you got to know it.
Mm-hmm.
And then what did you do in college?
College, I went to Texas State, so it was very much your traditional college band style. You come out and you do your pregame. You know, this is all about the university. This is what we do. And then usually during halftime, we'll rotate, I think, either three or four shows. I can't remember. It's very much the same now. My college experience was your typical college band.
Okay. I was much different, obviously. Mm-hmm. I grew up in Carthage, Texas, a very small town in East Texas. Back in the day, it was smaller. It's a little larger now. And we did military-style marching. And I don't think people understand how hard that is.
Oh, it looks hard.
Okay. Everyone watches A&M, and I think it just happens. I had a dream last night, which is why I probably wanted to talk about this today, is that I had to teach military band again. Let me rephrase it. I had to teach it for the first time. I was in school. Obviously, you just get used to it because you do whatever they tell you to do,
yeah.
And you're in it. But trying to see it from the other side of a director, the military aspect of it, I think about, we did, so back in the day in my town, and I think they might still do it, I'm not sure, but, you know, military band is king, and we would go away for band camp. Like, we would go to Broken Bow. Like, so, you know, like a lot of people's summer camp, you know, they have summer band and their summer band is at school. No. We got on buses and we drove hours away into the woods, mind you, into the woods, you know, and we would have a field. And what was great about it, it was a huge community thing. Like, I think that's what I love most about that, my time in mm-hmm. high school with that, was like the Tyson, like the meat company would donate an entire truck of meat and produce. And that truck they would drive it to Broken Bow, and it was air conditioned, so it would stay on all week. And then band parents, which were the chaperones, they would cook home cooked meals the entire week.
So like drum corps move-ins.
Like drum corps move-ins, exactly. It was basically like that.
That's wild. I feel like Dripping Springs used to do that.
Maybe.
Am I making that up?
And then they moved us to Northwestern State. We go all the way to Louisiana.
Wow.
And we would stay in dorms, but they'd still cook for us, you know, because we'd have dinner at the Baptist Student Union across the street is where we'd go. But camp was camp consisted of, you know, learning all of your stand tunes, learning your marching music, which was great marches, mm-hmm. you know, them basses, national emblem. I'm trying to think about everything I played. All the typicals, I guess you could say. And then we'd have squad competitions. Now, this was big. On the last Friday night of camp.
Wait, how long was camp?
A week.
Mm-hmm.
And so you would have squad time. Well, each section leader would have a squad of people that you would have to teach them drill to. It had to include, you know, parade rest.
Parade rest.
Right.
Forgot about that.
Parade rest and bringing your horns up, the click, 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 so you could hear the moves, horns coming up, right? It had to include a counter march, a to the rear, just basic military terms, right? And of course, I didn't want to lose. And I wasn't drum major, I was section leader. I wasn't allowed to be drum major because I could play my horn. They literally told me they weren't going to pick me. I was so mad. That's honesty. If you're listening to that, band directors, I was so mad at you guys.
You're still mad.
I am still mad about it. But anyhow, so then my very first, it was called squad competition. Mm. My very first one was at Broken Bow in Oklahoma. And the radio station shows up and they broadcast it live.
Oh, this is
like TV.
This is a thing.
This is a thing. And they like broadcast and they have it on video. And so you can watch it from home if you can't drive to Oklahoma. And they would bring it and you would watch the squad competitions. And they'd have the names of the leaders and like what was going on, you know.
Wow.
And it was a big deal. And they even did it, or brought it all the way to Louisiana. I won my last year. Of course I did. You know, I was determined. I think I won most years, but I was either in the group that won or I was the leader of the group that won. Hmm. I had to have, I kid you not, this is just like Drumline. I had to
Drumline,
have.
Wait, whoa, 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 whoa. Drumline, the movie Drumline?
Yeah. I had not a playoff, but a march off.
Oh my God.
To get section leader. Because they pick them there. I had to, between me and a senior.
Like your audition.
Like a, yeah. And it was a snap, like your horns up, don't move, don't, yeah, it was bad.
Wow. Okay. All right.
And it was like snap, boom, snap, boom, snap, boom.
The way I would pay money to see this.
Oh, I'll reenact it for you. Don't you worry. But anyhow, that's how serious it was, you know? And so I took a lot of pride in that discipline, you know, and then you get back to band. But I had this dream that it had all of the sequences. Because if you were a line leader, you mm-hmm. better not screw up. I got whacked in the face one too many times, busted my lip. Ugh. And you didn't bust Kim Shelsworth's lip.
Was that your fault?
No, it was a trombone player in front of me. Of course it's not my fault. Are you kidding me? No, it's not my fault.
The look of disgust on your face right now.
How dare you insinuate that I would do something wrong? No, I don't turn early. I turn on time.
Yes, ma'am.
Right. And anyhow, so yeah, just the intricacy, because like a kid in core band, I guess what we would call it back in the day, you know, they had like a mini computer that would fit, not UDB or anything like that,
yeah,
that would shoot out their coordinates of like, you go here and you go here and you go here. But you had to trust your person in front of you, like that they were doing the right thing. And you had to counter march or you had to the rear as soon as they said it. Like, because if you to the rear early, you get hit. Or if you to the rear late, you'd get hit.
Yeah, that sounds dangerous.
It is. And the counter march is dangerous. And also, it can become very embarrassing if you follow the person that was wrong. Hence, one game where we had to stay after the game and redo the halftime. What? Because during halftime, I don't mean to blame the flutes, but I'm going to blame the flute players at the time. They countermarched in the wrong spot, and people followed because you countermarched two after the person in front of you and set us on a line, and then a trombone player flanked. That's a word, flank. You know what a flank is?
Yeah.
Flanked in the wrong way. So that band was going three different directions.
When it wasn't.
It was supposed to all go the same. It was bad. And I'm sitting there just playing my, I'm just playing my part, doing my thing. And I notice it feels lonely. It feels lonely.
There's a lot of air moving around.
There's a lot of air moving around. And it's like a small pod of us. And I was like, are we right or are we wrong? Like, at that point, it was a catastrophe.
Oh, no.
And one of the band directors, the assistant band director, who's a dear, dear friend of mine now, she hid behind my mother. And I went to go, and at that time, you got third quarter off as a kid.
Yep.
I went to go say hi to my mom, and she says, you sit here and you be still. And I was like,
Denise did?
Yeah. Mm. I said, was it bad? She said, it wasn't just bad, baby. She said, it was embarrassing. I'm going home. I don't know you, basically.
Yeah, yeah, I would have just gone home. Like, yeah.
She just got up and left. Said, I means like, bye.
Yeah, I got to go.
So we had to do it again at the end of the game.
Oh, my God.
And I was just like, this is embarrassing. And then the next Monday, out comes our old principal, Stuart Bird, Lord love him, who I have his trumpet, you know. He comes out and he's got his suit on, but he's rolled up his suit pant legs his socks.
Oh, no.
And he's like,
I know what that means.
He's like, I see him coming because they have a little hill that it comes up onto the field. I see him walking up and I was like, we're in trouble.
Yeah.
We're in trouble. And sure enough, we were.
He was ready to work.
And he's like, when I tell you to do something, you're going to do something. Like, he's just, I mean, they're brutal to you.
Hmm.
So I would say that military marching band is a bit more intricate than people want to give it credit for.
Yes.
It's a beautiful art form that, which unfortunately is not as popular as it used to be, but I kind of wish it would be.
Yeah.
You know, I think about like the charts that I used to see, like these guys would have these huge, long, like architect grids.
Yeah.
Right. And they've drawn out every single hand charted. And then all of a sudden you see like line this 3, 5, 7, 9. And the lines would go all the way to 63. Like you had to count a long time. Could you imagine? You're going to the rear on 37.
Hold on. Let me take out my UDB.
Yeah. No. You're going to the rear on 37 or like on 38. You'd mainly do it with your right foot. So you're going to the rear there. And they used to tell you, if you don't knock your ponytail out of your head, you ain't spinning fast enough.
Wow.
So that was the goal, was to turn so quick.
That's like a whole different world.
That your ponytail holder would fly off. Your scrunchie. It was a scrunchie back in the day. Y'all think that scrunchies are popular now. No, guys. They were popular back in the 90s and early 2000s.
Wow.
Yeah. You'd have to turn that much. And let me tell you, you have some knee problems.
Yeah, I don't know that I could do that. I'd bust something.
It's harder than you think. Those turns are difficult.
I think it's hard. Don't you worry.
And then you're to the rear. You couldn't round that sucker out if you tried. You learned how to dress a diagonal super fast. Diagonals are front to back, not left to right.
Yeah.
You know, you'd learn all of these different things. And so when I got to Texas... So your mark time was hard back then. It wasn't a relaxed mark time. Like your knees are supposed to like pretend like they're hitting a wall. That's how military mark time is. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So I got to Texas to show band style and they asked me what was wrong with me.
You're doing too much.
Yeah. They said, you're overcorrecting. And I was like, no, I'm just, this is mark time. No, I'm right. This is mark time. And that's when they nicknamed me Carthage because everything was different in Carthage because none of those guys had really done military marching band. But when it came to doing wall to wall, I was like the prime example.
What is wall to wall?
Wall to wall is when you cover the field wall to wall. And so you march out and then you counter march and you create long diagonals and those diagonals move through in each other. And then in the midst of it, you stop. There's a freeze and you say, beat the hell out of OU, because that's a thing.
Yep.
Right? And then you continue on. And so you do wall to wall. And when it came to that boy, that station of mine, I could pass that station off real quick. 6 to 5 station, I was like perfect the first time. This whole 8 to 5 crap and like, no. But I will say one of my old teachers, it's called a rock step. Where you rock forward, you rock back, and then you move again. Rock step.
Okay.
And
I believe you.
But you know what he called it?
What?
A hibby dibby dobby doo.
Was it the Flintstones?
And every time I see that on the field, I go, hibby dibby dobby doo. That's how he would teach it.
Line up with your feet?
Yeah, it lines up with your feet. And I thought this man was crazy.
It's just a fancy teaching tool.
If you want to call it hibby dibby dobby doo, a fancy teaching tool. That's what it was. But anyhow, it's how you bring your you let one line go in front of you and you go back and you open up the diagonals easily. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Like if you're in line.
Mm-hmm.
So every other line does a hibby dibby dobby doo and then it pulls it into diamonds. I know, right? You're listening to
you
it.
You sound ridiculous. Okay. Okay.
Rock step.
I'm following.
Right? Exactly. So, anyhow, that's military style. And so when I got to Texas and did show band, and I was the leg of Mario, and I moved maybe 6 feet forward and 6 feet back for the Mario show, I was like, band is really different. And then obviously I teach a completely different style.
Yeah. I remember my first college band show. We did like some jazz show. I was like, what? What is this? What do you mean we do six shows?
We did semester? Appalachian Spring, and I was like, aren't you supposed to sit down and do that? It's like, this doesn't seem right.
Yeah, college band is just is totally different. So if you're a high school child listening to this and you're not sure about college band, do it for the experience. It's different.
There are certain college bands that try to treat it like high school band, and correct. I'm going to be a voice of reason. Stop. Just stop.
That's great advice.
Only because that's not why the kids joined.
Yep.
The kids joined because they love to play their instrument, and it's an outlet for them.
Mm-hmm.
And high school marching band was sometimes hard.
Yes.
You know, for kids to manage, and they just want to play their horn and have a great time, which is why I loved UT. Some of my defining moments of why I love band, you know, 9/11, 2001,
mm-hmm.
We did a tribute to New York like 2 weeks later because it was a home game. You could hear a pin drop. We did New York, New York on Broadway, things like that. But then we built, I think it was America. Like we did the entire shape of the country. And then all of the flags had American flags. Mm. And it got really silent as we took a moment of silence. And then we played America the Beautiful. And it was at night. I'll never forget standing because I was like on side two towards the end zone, like maybe the 30-yard line or so. And I just remember chills. And then I've never heard DKR silent as I'd heard it before. And it was just, I don't know. It was when I fell in love with the band. It was one of those like, oh, this is why we do what we do, is for the camaraderie of this, you know, and every person in the stadium understood.
Yeah.
You know, so I do that, you know, and then they did that during the bonfire when A&M, mm-hmm. they played at A&M. They, you know, Texas never takes their hat off, and they took their hat off, paid tribute, got down on a knee and played That's Amazing cool. Grace, you know. So there's just a lot that college band can teach you that has nothing to do with actual music.
Band, yeah.
You know, and that's what I try to like to have here is that, yeah, we have to teach you music because it is part of our subject, but just those experience of doing stuff together.
Yeah, at some point it's about the experience. Not,
right.
Not necessarily the product.
Right. So, but back to the evolution of everything. It's interesting to see where we are today versus like maybe the Sousa band.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when Sousa decided, I'm going to write, you know, he was an inventor. And I learned this from Jerry Junkin when we were learning last year about our march that we were doing, Hands Across the Sea. Like, that even Sousa would not be the same, composer today as he was when he first started. Because he was an inventor. He was pushing the line of what could be written and why. He was very curious about stuff, which is why, you know, he has so many different genres of music, but we only really equate ourselves to his marches. But Sousa was inventive on everything else too, you know? And so I'm curious, because I like playing his rags, you know, he has some of those that are good to play. But I wonder, like, if I could go back in time, I'd want to talk to Sousa, because I'd want to just pick his brain about how did he know this was going to happen.
But do you think he knew it was going to happen, or do you think he was just doing his thing?
I think he probably wanted it to happen. You know, it's interesting that what is neat about the whole thing is that his marches still live.
Mm-hmm.
And you can think of multiple pieces of music that people don't really play anymore, that it kind of has died away. You know, like Hammersmith, for instance. It's now just a piece of study for the most part. Now, some people do play it, but in my band lit class, you studied it. You didn't play it, you know. Pieces that aren't played as much anymore, but held out for a long time, like Chorale and Alleluia.
Hounds of Spring. Nobody really plays that anymore.
Yeah, there's just a lot of different, at least around here, you know, there's a lot of different things that you think about, like, why did that piece not withstand, like, Sousa? Because you can hear Sousa in a band hall any time of the year, more than likely. In some band hall, you can hear it, at least in Texas. So,
why do we think that his marches have lasted this long in terms of popularity, too? Because if we think format, most of them are pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
Tempos, same thing.
Went to march tempo.
Yeah. Well, he dictated what the march tempo is.
Right. I mean, part of me wants to attribute it to military band. Think about it, like military, like government bands, they play that stuff all the time. Mm-hmm. Look at what the Marine Project has done of reviving Sousa stuff.
Like as a newer teacher, like that's, I would just get on YouTube if I'm doing desk work and just let it play just to expose myself to more music. But like all of the Marine band stuff online is so good now.
Yeah. You know, we think about like, why do we play a march? Why do we play marches?
I mean, it's traditional.
Okay. That's too, why else do
that's,
we?
I mean, that's really broad, but like, that's my understanding.
I teach a march for rhythm, style, dynamic contrast, all that stuff, right? What I think is interesting is that if we were to go to the root of marching band, military band would withstand.
Yeah.
Military band is the foundation of why we can even do what we're doing. Because think about it. They play marches. If I were to compare, even though they're going the same direction the whole time, if I were to compare dynamic contrast between a military band and a corps band, corps is in quotations because I don't even know what you call us anymore.
Yeah.
I might still pick, or articulation, I might pick the military band because it has to be so precise, because the drill movement has to be so precise. So everything must match up together. And so that's why I have a deep appreciation for military form. And that's why when you hear me cleaning, I'm cleaning it like I would clean how I was cleaned as a kid, you know. And I think we just sometimes forget our roots a little bit. But the march is the same way. Why can we play other pieces? Well, because if we can play a march, we've taught cut times.
Skills.
Sometimes we've taught fundamental skill that's super, super important to the other aspect of what we need to do.
It makes me wonder, how did we branch out from military band though? Like, what was for some of the first core style groups to come out of that? And then like thinking even bigger picture, like the show band stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And especially like Grambling State, the historically black colleges.
Yeah.
How do we get to that point from military band? I'd be interested to see what that trajectory is like for both. Because even now with the core stuff, or we should come up with a new name, but with the core stuff, it's so much different than it was 10 years ago.
Right. Well, it's different than it was 6 years
ago. 5 years ago, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, I think about, when I think about Texas, I feel like Permian used to be military and now it's not.
Mm.
I don't know. Nacogdoches still is military. Longview still is military.
There's a couple in Houston. Kingwood.
Kingwood. Listen, that used to be a beast.
Yep.
Of a military school. It probably still is. I should keep up a little bit more.
I think Atascocita used to be military.
It still is. Atascocita still is military.
Yep.
And he's doing a great job. I think it's Brian Best there. He's doing a great job there. But just understanding, like, that's where it's rooted from.
Yeah.
You know,
but it's interesting that, like, with those Houston bands, that I mean, they're surrounded by core style, so I wonder what that, how that community is different, or if they're different.
Yeah. Well, I want to also think about like the sheets, because now we were talking about this, you know, content achievement, things like that in the last couple podcasts. But I am glad that there is a new state military division, because I do believe that they were not given justice on the old sheet. You know what a military band can max out on the current sheet? All the musical content stuff. Because they don't get to play playing an upbeat all the time.
While stepping on the downbeat
is tough. You know?
Yeah, like, I know. I'm a horn player.
There's a lot of stuff that goes into that. Or the fact that you have to, while you're moving, to go digga digga, everyone has to do it, you know?
And articulate the same way.
Exactly.
And move the same direction.
Exactly. And everything has to be the same. Yeah. They open with a huge fanfare. That's what I love. I love the creativity of that. Like, understand the creativity of how they piece different marches together, because the first strain of a march, you know, you're marching one way and it's one strain. And then the next time you turn around, there's a little percussion break. And then all of a sudden, you're at National Emblem. Yum, bum, 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 bee, bum, bum, ba-da. But you weren't like, because you were at Under the Double Eagle before that. The way that they're piecing things together, there is creative content to that. And there is wonderful achievement to it that I think that I didn't appreciate as I was young. You know, and even
probably
as a young...
you didn't know better.
No, and as a young teacher, I thought, oh, this is way cooler to do blah, 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 blah. But now I look back at it and I'm like, why didn't I appreciate it? Or I should approach it the same way. Like, just because we arrange Saint-Saëns Organ Symphony is no different than someone arranging Sousa, you know? And so I just think there needs to be, this is more of an appreciation for me of like a thankfulness of what I've learned, but also recognition that we should all maybe pay attention to our past a little bit.
I'm trying to think, have I ever seen, because most all of my history is core style, marching band related. I'm trying to think if I've ever heard or seen someone play anything Sousa.
One time Westlake High School band did a show about Sousa.
Really?
They did. It's like 2000 and Carrie's gonna get me if I don't remember this.
I'll text them later.
I think it was like 2012, maybe 13. It's in the 11 to 14 when I was a head director.
I'd be interested to see what that looks like.
Yeah, he did a cool job with it, you know. And that was when like the After the Rain and the Thunder, all that stuff came out. Themes on John Philip Sousa. Mm-hmm. That was when that started to come out. And to think about all of that stuff that was, you know, how that played a role in what they were doing.
And I mean, even thinking back then to 2010, 2011, when everyone, when everyone was playing like traditional concert band literature inside. Like I remember Westlake one year, they did a promenade show. They played pictures with those giant stairs. That was cool. And I feel like nobody really does that anymore. Because it's, here's 30 seconds of this tune. Okay, here's another 30 seconds of this tune. Is it an attention span thing? Like, do we just have to pace faster now?
I mean, I think to some degree, it's a detention. It's an attention. I keep saying detention.
It's an attention?
An attention thing. Goodness gracious.
Talk about enunciation.
I can teach it, boy, but I can't say it. That's for sure. Yeah, I think about that too. Like I've always, and it's always been shut down, that I've always wanted to do a military show, but not in military style, if that makes sense. Like I've wanted to open with a gigantic fanfare and company fronts and then move them out. But then instead of them doing like almost do a pseudo drill, but instead of them facing the end zones, they're facing the front and they're doing slides. Like I've always wondered what that would be like, or, you know, because, you know, they march with marching French horns. I mean, they do concert French horns on the field.
Yeah.
You know, what would it be like to do bell front marching French horns? Would that help them? You know, thinking about, you know, the common differences that we now see between the two ideas. How do we close them out? They do marching euphoniums, which Coppell used to do. Marching euphoniums that were bell front like that. They were the concert euphoniums. There's something said about, or if they did a 301M. Like, what would that sound like for them?
Well, I keep thinking, as you're talking about this, I keep thinking about the Marine Drum and Bugle Corps. And, like, those guys can play.
Yeah, they can.
All, like, 20 of them.
Mm-hmm. It's true. So, anyhow, the evolution of band sure has changed, because now we're sitting here...
worried about our electronics.
Worried about our electronics that they got rained on. Yeah. And worried about... Now I just thought about it. I have to get my wireless microphones for some staging things that are going to happen. And, you know, just things here and there that you're just like,
how did we get this far?
How did we get this far with this? And wanting to make sure that we're taking care of everything, you know, but not at the sake of good music education. So... That's just, I kind of wanted to talk about band in that way. And it is a good question. Why does Sousa still survive?
Well, I wonder, like, what would he say now? I would think it would be
I think he'd be happy.
Yeah. Because he, I mean, yes, he was known as March King, but you're right. He pioneered so many different kind of styles.
Yeah.
With his stuff.
And he'd, let me try to arrange this. Let me try to do this. He would do things in his own way. And some of those things aren't even published, but they're in his, you know, in his archives.
Library of Congress.
Yeah. And it's just, it's interesting to me. Like, that would be a question. Like, if you could sit down and speak to anyone about band, who would be, you know, your top three people you'd want to speak to?
Sousa would be one.
Yeah.
Fennell.
Mm-hmm. Why Fennell?
Because, like, I know that high school band and, like, curriculum things are the way it is because of him and Eastman. So I want to know what, like, his thought process. I mean, I just want to know the history of him getting all of that started.
Well, think about it. Like, a Sousa band used to have, like, 200 people in it. And a Fennell band was a true wind ensemble. So it had 50 people in it, maybe.
And you think, like, Alfred Reed's old stuff meant to be played by mass bands. Like,
right.
Just imagine how loud and, I guess, aggressive that is.
But I've heard recordings of it, and it sounds so good.
Yeah.
So where are we going wrong as teachers when they can make 200 people sound quiet, but we can't make 12?
But I still think it's the militaristic connection. Precision. Precise.
Execution.
Yeah.
For sure. I mean, so you would be Alfred Reed.
I don't know if I would pick Alfred Reed. I feel like there's not so, I don't want to say someone more important, but like a bigger figure. I don't know who would be my third. Like, I also don't know enough about band overseas. Mm-hmm. And at, we live in America and we're in our own little bubble. Like, we know Sousa. Like, what are more prominent people outside of the country? Like, what led to military band in England?
I would probably choose Granger, even though I know he's a he's a character. I would want to talk to Granger. I'd want to talk to Fennell. I'd want to talk to Sousa, probably.
I need to think about my third. Because I don't disagree that Granger would be a good third.
Well, yeah, and we'd be like, did you ever wear clothes?
What's wrong with you?
Did you have shoes on when you walked through the streets? Show me what this box looked like that you took all these tunes on. How much did you steal?
What wax roller thing did you use?
Could you imagine? What would be the number one question you would ask them?
Why did you pick band?
That was going to be mine.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And then further on to the conversation, did you think that you would end up at this point with band?
I might ask them, do you hate the fact that everyone's making your money now? Do you hate the fact that you weren't appreciated until you're gone?
For you? Yeah.
Yeah. That you're being made money. You've been
your
made
music is now being sold for $400.
Yeah. How do you feel about those copyrights right now? Those royalty costs.
Look out, Trisano.
Yes. Yeah. Those royalty costs. That'd be something I would ask.
How do you feel about copyright?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Do you not
that's
like funny. Trey Sona either?
Let's talk about charms and this new notation. Oh, we haven't talked about the whole internet blowing up about
finale.
Doritos? I don't know. I don't even know.
I thought it said Doritos at first.
Oh,
and I was like, what? Why are you doing this as a chip? I mean, I get it.
As a chip.
I just read it wrong first. I was like, Doritos? I was like, oh, that doesn't say that.
Yeah. So, composer friends, I hope we're doing okay.
Well, you know, they said, we're sorry.
No.
You didn't see that they said, we heard you. So, we're not going to do away with it. But they're not going to develop it, but they'll make sure that it still is allowed to update.
Yeah.
So they can keep their files at least for a year or two, maybe. Could you imagine?
No.
I
mean, I'd be pissed too.
I mean, we woke up to that, and I just remember because Katie was in last week, and it was just like,
things are not good at home.
Things are not good. Well, just in general, you open up the internet and you're like,
finale this, finale that.
And it's like,
I'm so angry.
Boycotting.
Like, and whoa.
How am I supposed to move my files? And I thought to myself, like, this is what the end of the earth is going to be like.
Via composers. I mean, I saw, I'm trying to pull it up on my phone here. Julie Giroux.
Oh, her new website?
Yes.
Her coding thing?
It looks super cool.
First of all, that logo, Julie, I don't know that you listen to us, but if you do, that logo is legit.
Yes. It makes me feel less important.
I feel like I'm going into the next century when I look at that logo.
So basically, she is pioneering this website that is like a one-stop shop. A composer could upload their music to a site, keep their copyright, and never sign any contracts. A website with the best, most intuitive search engine on the planet. Place that has a page of composer tools and information to help out. It digitally watermarks everything. One click button, purchase mechanicals and licensing. Like, this sounds
like she's about to put Trey Sona out of business. That's what I hope. I'm going to put him out of business.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how she develops this because this looks like a really cool idea.
Props to her.
I love
that she's like, even after I'm gone, it stays
it's still
with the
around.
Estate.
Yeah. And the last thing she posted, I just have to say the search engine is off the chain. Maximum effort.
She, you know, I met her so many years ago and fangirled her even back then because we were playing Italian and Rhapsody for ABA back in 2008 or 9, whenever it was. And she came to a rehearsal. And I was just, she came with, oh my gosh.
Clarinetist?
No, the conductor, Colonel Gabriel. Mm. She came with Colonel Gabriel, and I was playing Italian in Algiers that year. And Bruce had told him, and he was like
for contest.
Like for contest. And he was like, you do know that that was written for me, right? Because he had Italian in Algiers written for him. The band version.
Oh, okay.
Someone wrote it for him, and he sent me the letter.
Wow.
Of this is written for you. Anyhow, so I still have that somewhere in my files. But I met her, and I was just like, how can you be so talented? she's so honest and so funny.
She seems like she's really down to earth, too.
Yeah, very much so. So
very real.
Anyhow, but if she puts Trey Sona to bed, I'm fine with it. You know, even, I like how John Mackey commented and he's like, this must have been very expensive. That's all John's like seeing the dollar signs. How expensive was this? And I'd have been like, so how rich are you?
I mean, yeah, for real.
You do movies, you do soundtracks, you do symphonies.
I still want to see the whole Blue Marble thing.
Yeah.
That looks really cool. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. But anyhow, did we get to everything? Oh, we didn't really talk about why the craft is changing.
Well, I mean, I feel like we've talked about this. We've hinted at it a little in the last couple episodes. I think people are just trying to be innovative and try and make themselves stand out. I forgot who it was, I was having a conversation a little while ago, and we were talking about drum corps, and I'll go on record and say I didn't really pay attention to a lot of drum corps this last summer, but they made the comment that it looks like fancy high school band. So,
oh,
yeah, those, I don't know. I mean, I said it because they said it. I can't agree or disagree because I haven't seen it.
What did they mean by it?
Well, I didn't. It sounded like they were trying to make parallels between the two.
Okay.
And like with Blue Coats, apparently they were more innovative than everybody else, trying to change the direction and change like trajectory things, make themselves stand out. So I wonder if we got to this point because of people that are trying to step out and break some boundaries and change the mold of how things look like, how we perceive things, I guess.
I will say this for me, and I love DCI, obviously. Mm-hmm. I work for them sometimes. But DCI is built around entertainment. It is like going to Cirque du Soleil. It's buying a ticket to be entertained by people that are not kids anymore, right? And I think that there's a ton of value in that. It's an outlet for a lot of kids that don't want to do the whole music thing, or it's, you know, getting the experience so maybe you can do things later. But it's also for alumni to, you know, go back, yep, and just enjoy a show and enjoy all these shows of what's being going. Oh my gosh, my words.
Are you okay?
I don't know what has been happening. Right. But that's all it's for.
Yeah.
It is for entertainment. It is supposed to entertain us. And I am here to say that that is not my job as an educator.
Correct.
My job is to educate kids through an activity to teach them certain skill sets that are not just music, but there are life skills. Do you learn that in ECI? Absolutely. But it is a different platform. And it's, so I do believe...
That bus is just driven differently.
It is.
And it should be.
Yes. There is a place for DCI.
Yes.
I agree. It's not in a high school band hall, though.
I don't agree with high school bands that go, I want to do that. I want to look like that.
You know, you can have, and we're at fault to it to an extent because we hire, most people, yes, only hire people who have DCI experience. Why? A lot of people think it's because they're in DCI. To me, it is because they have marched more,
mm-hmm,
and they are up to date on skill sets. And so that's why we do it, you know, but I understand that we can sound hypocritical sometimes about this, but what would happen if we just concentrated on, okay, these are the skills we need to do. Again, it goes back to the sheet. It doesn't say entertainment anywhere. It talks about the degree and the depth of understanding, of executing, of all of these different things. And mind you, the DCI sheet doesn't say that either, you know, kind of thing. And so, I don't know. I haven't wrapped my head around the why yet, but I know that DCI is a part of it, but I don't think that we should let it be. Let DCI be DCI. Just like I would say, and you know what? The Crown guy said this best. I was at Western Carolina years ago doing some stuff for David Starnes when he was there at summer camp. And he said, the design team came out from Crown, and Michael Clush said it best. He says, don't try to put WGI on the field. Don't try to put DCI in the concert band. Don't try to put, you know, like all these different things is that they are all different. They're all different entities and they all serve their purpose for what they're supposed to serve. So just stay in your lane.
Well, I'm trying to be cautious of how I say this. Do we also think it's because we utilize the same designers and same people to an extent? Because a lot of those DCI folks design for big high schools,
mm-hmm,
as well. A lot of big high school directors are involved in the DCI world, mm-hmm, whether they're on staff, whether they judge. And I think the same could be said in parallels for BOA.
Mm-hmm.
Like the three are very closely related because I feel like at its core, it's very similar circles of people.
Yeah. Well, yes, to a certain extent. But I think, like, for instance, Ryan George, who is our music arranger, I don't think he writes a DCI book for us.
No.
I think he writes what we're supposed to do. And I think he does that with all his groups, you know? So when you listen to his DCI group and then you listen to our book, maybe some harmonies are similar, but in terms of like execution and detail and things like that,
technique, demand.
Yeah. Like he writes what is appropriate for what our setting is. And so I think that's important. You know, he understands that. I think about Leon May. You know, I've had him as a drill writer before, and I've also seen him write for Crown and for Boston. And those two aren't the same to me. Mm-hmm. Like when I think that he does a great job. You know, I'm just saying that because I've worked with him in that capacity. I think he does a great job of switching gears.
Separation, yeah.
Yeah, and I think you will get that from a lot of the seasoned staff.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a little harder, those that are just starting out, because they're using DCI as a reference.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
Oh, that's a lot. All of that we just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
But I also feel like a lot of it is just unanswered.
It's true. But it's been on my mind about it because, you know, we're sitting here. We got a contest coming up, and I'm trying to think about
three weeks.
Ugh. I'm just thinking about if we go back to our roots, will we be cleaner? Mm. You know, maybe so.
We'll see.
Anyhow, we just dropped that bomb on you.
I think we dropped the bomb on ourselves.
It's true. But I am excited that Julie's going to get rid of Trisona.
To be fair, she hasn't said that.
Yeah, don't quote me on that. Yeah. But basically, that's what I'm thinking.
She's coming.
Listen, I'm all for it. Yeah. I will purchase from her. Give me a PO. I don't have any money.
Yeah, I was going to say, we don't have money.
But give me a PO to do that.
Oh, no.
Anyhow, listen, I hope everyone survives the rain.
If you're being rained on, yeah.
If you're being rained on in Texas. I hope you're enjoying it. If you have a topic you want us to discuss,
email us, intermissionbandpod23@gmail.com, or reach out to us.
It's true. Like, Riaz doesn't check the email ever.
Yes, he does.
Did you check it in the last 2 weeks?
There was nothing in there.
Okay. So, make him do his job.
Oh, my gosh.
And test that out. But anyhow, if you have something you want us to discuss, we're happy to discuss it. It might come with some humor or some stupid stories, but...
It might. Yeah, it will.
It will.
Just be ready.
All right. Have a great Monday.
Bye, everybody.
Oh, God, Tuesday. It's Tuesday. Bye.